I'd like to welcome everybody out this evening at 6 o'clock, and it's time to start our meeting, and appreciate all of you being here. All four of you? Five of you? Six of you? Thanks for coming. We're going to begin our meeting with the pledge, a prayer and a pledge. Who's got the prayer? You didn't pick anybody. Scott, are you okay?
Yep, sounds good to me. Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to meet here tonight as the City Council and be able to discuss the needs of the work. We pray that thy guidance may be with us and be able to help inspire us for the discussions that we have. We pray that we may be able to conduct our actions with honesty and integrity and thinking of the future in mind. We're grateful for the fearful circumstances that bring us here together tonight. We pray that when the time comes, we may all be able to depart and find our way home safely. We say this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Scott. First item on the agenda this evening is a presentation on the Washington County Fair. Who is presenting that to us?
We're here.
Okay. All right. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for allowing us to be here. Let me introduce myself. My name is Susie Waffelli. I'm becoming fair director. I'm just going to pass things around. Yeah. Robin Jen is a member of our board, and Brandon is an adorer in our county fair board. I just wanted to talk a little bit about our county fair. I'm sure many of you are very familiar with it. Just a couple of pages. I'll talk a little bit about the history. County Fair is 165 years old, the longest running community event in Washington County. And why it matters, because it isn't just an event. The legacy. This year, our county fair will be held April 10th through the 18th, 8 days. Many of you might remember when the county fair was in August, and now we've moved it, hopefully it's a good thing, to April. The last 5 years we've been in April, much cooler. But besides the tradition and legacy, there's also a lot that the county fair provides, culture and camaraderie, and you can follow along in those. This last year we really focused on Teach North America 250, and we're going to continue that this year. Moving to April allowed us to include a lot of our equestrian events that we haven't had in the past, two-night rodeo, our 4-H and FFA programs at our local school. This last year you can see some of those numbers. We really, as big as we've grown, we still try to maintain as much local as we can. So our food vendors, 80% of those are local, 50 unique retail vendors. All of our bands on the main stage that we have and our performing groups are all local. You can see 38 bands, 23 performing groups. And again, why it matters, because it's one of the largest opportunities for local exposure and revenue. We like to give back to the county fair. We're not just take. We have more than 2,000 entries from our local residents. That also equals $16,000 that we pay out. So if you enter a quilt, or a Lego, or a puzzle, a watercolor, you get money as a resident of Washington County. We paid out over $16,000 this year to our residents that enter items into the county fair. We also reinvest that money into our local clubs and scholarships of $62,000. We gave FFA scholarships at $1,500. And then we also to make sure that our school kids know that chocolate milk doesn't come from brown cow. So we have fourth grade field trips 3 days of the week. Last year we had 1,121 fourth graders on property before the fair opened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, learning where wool comes from, learning also how to eat better with our Create Better Health, learning where milk comes from, and all of those things with agriculture that sometimes they might not get an opportunity if they're more of an urban dweller than a rural or an agricultural dweller. We also had fifth graders that participated coming to our colonial village through the Give Me Liberty program, and that will continue this year as well. 14 schools you can see throughout the 3 days, and it matters because the fair teaches, inspires all age groups, and directly invests back into our future generation. And then finally, we just want to make sure that as part of our mission statement at the county fair, that we honor our past, we showcase the present, and we inspire the future. People sometimes will only think that the county fair is just carnival rides, and that's it. And funnel cakes, can't forget the funnel cakes, right? But we're a lot more than that, and moving 8 days really allows us to create this environment that is open for everybody, right? All the way from our special needs rodeo that we hold on Saturday to our military wall of honor, where we recognize our veterans, to our demolition derby that finishes out our week. We want to make sure that the fair is very inclusive to all of our residents, not only of Washington County, but specifically to Laverkin. And I don't know if you've heard, but Laverkin is our spotlight city this year. Yay! That was supposed to be, you guys were supposed to be excited. Chief? Yeah. Look at me. They're like, wait, what does that mean for us? What do we have to do? That's okay, I gave everything to Darren. Darren's in charge of all of that. Yeah. So as Salt Lake City, Brandon and Ruff will kind of touch a little bit on that, but the county fair, we really are very passionate about what we do as board members, as county fair director. We love the fair. We're there all 8 days. Sometimes I feel like I should just have a cot in my office. but we are, just so you know, some of the accolades and awards we received the last 2 years, we won Best of Southern Utah for Best Annual Event, winning the gold. And then just some of those other numbers, our attendance throughout the 8 days of attendance is about 60,000 people. We estimate that 25% of those people are from out of the area, right? So they may have gone to Zion, they saw the Ferris wheel as they were driving by, and they thought, oh, well, it gets dark, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, all go out to the county fair. And we get those numbers from our ticket sales. We also did a survey in 2024 that showed that not only are we getting 25% out-of-towners, but that our economic impact is $5.8 million. So when I say the county fair gives back, not only those numbers I gave earlier, but we really give back. So let me turn some time over to Ruffin and Brandon. I don't want to take too much of your time, but we appreciate you letting us be here.
My name is Ruffin Jeff. I am in charge of and helping our community displays, where Laverkin is our, what do you call it again?
Spotlight.
Spotlight.
I don't know if you want to change it, but you can, Ruffin.
Yes. Where you are, Spotlight City this year, we want to make not only a big effort to let everyone know about your community, your rich heritage, those things that you know are important to the members of your community, but also put that on display. But also, we're going to have a big article write up in our magazine for you as well as the program we had up too. So, Darren, I know that they said they gave all the information to you. My job is really just to kind of coordinate the setting up and helping you with any of that display stuff, helping you put together any items, whether it be. We've had people that do seat displays. I've had simply an easel with a picture, which doesn't work for you this year, sorry. But we've had simple ones, and then we also have ones where people have just been able to bring some of the new pictures that they have from their city offices and set them up in a nice display. So that's my job. I want to help support anyway there. We do want feedback on how we can help the community be more involved with us, like what you guys have experienced. So there's maybe but also really just how we can spotlight your city, make you guys look as good as you are, maybe better for this upcoming year. Let everybody know how awesome the market is. Dan, I'll coordinate with you unless I hear otherwise. Is that okay? That's what I'm hearing tonight, or should I?
We have a person that's in charge of that.
Sweet.
Her name is Mary Johnson, and she's already contacted me or talked with me, so okay. She's
Her displays are fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does a great job.
Even better. So yeah. I'll be in touch with you, then I'll coordinate with her and make sure that we've got
all the things. I'm just going to push out to her. So
okay, sweet. Sounds good. Sounds good. We'll all be in touch with her. We'll work with her. But like I said, if you guys have anything city-wise that we can do to help encourage people to come, to be involved from your city, to even be part of that spotlight preparation or any of the things that we're doing specifically for your city, I'd love to coordinate with them and make sure we can really make you look great in the spotlight, but really draw attention to New York. So. But, Brendan, anything you want to add? I'll just echo what Ruffin said. We're here to support the city of America, and so if there's something we can do better, as a fair word, to recognize Alberican and its community and how it benefits Washington County, that's what we're here for. So please, you can be back and love to hear it. So.
I do know that the loyalty of Alberican is also in hand by Mary, and they participate and help out an awful lot, but there have been times in the past, and I have no idea, but sometimes the fair falls on prom, or it has fallen on Easter before, and stuff like that. So we work around, we'll support you as much as we can, but I don't want you to tell some girls you can't go to prom, so.
I got teenage daughters, that won't apply very well.
Any questions for us, Mayor and Council?
No other questions? Well, thanks for coming. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for spotlighting the work.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm excited to see what Meredith comes up with.
Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. This can be a single motion unless there's any discussion on it. We'll entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda as printed.
I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda as printed.
Do you have a second?
I'll second that.
Oh, let's see, this has got some money involved.
Yes.
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 Darren?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Next, we're going to have a public hearing. Before we go to the public hearing, we're going to turn some time to Kyle so he can explain a little bit about it.
I'll just give a little bit of an explanation so that you know what we're planning. This is a minor amendment to the budget. At the first page in what you've got under revenue, there are four places that I'm proposing that we increase over what our budget was. There's sales and use tax, which is line 3130. I'm proposing that we increase that by $20,000. Under highways, which is where it says 3136 quarter cent. No, excuse me. Yeah. Sales tax streets, 3136. I'm proposing that we increase that by $35,000 for revenue. Franchise tax, that would be 3140. Increase that by $10,000. And then transit room tax, 3150. Increasing that by $21,000 for a total of $86,000 just in general fund taxes. Then we have some intergovernmental revenue that's down middle of the page. Class C roads, I'm proposing that we increase that by $8,000. And then there's one that's local option road tax, 3357, that we increase that by $5,000 for a total of $13,000 in increased revenue. And then on interest, which is towards the bottom, it shows interest, it's 3610, that we increase the interest that we've generated in our account by $78,000, and that totals $177,000 in added revenue that we plan on adding to the budget. Now to spend it, if you go to middle of second page, if you go to expenditures or administration, we have an additional $4,000 for an attorney, which is line 4140.311. We have an additional expense for $5,000 for computer equipment, which is, I don't need to look at these numbers this way. Let's see. Oh, 4140.315. Bank charges, which is very bottom line on page 2, 4140.600. Increasing that by $5,000, increasing expenditures. Lease payment for the office car, which is page 3, 4140.810, right up near the top, increasing that to $4,000. That's to pay for the office car that we have. And the elections, which is 4176.10, increasing that by $1,000, which we already have paid the county that, and it's an increase of $1,000 to cover what the expenditures. It was more than what we anticipated. That's a total under administration for $19,000. Building grounds for tree maintenance. Under operations and maintenance, increasing that, and that would be in your book packet on page 5, I believe. No, back on page 3, building and grounds, increasing the operation and maintenance by $5,000 for tree trimming. For a total under operation maintenance of $5,000 under police, under lease payments, which is under police near the bottom of the page, 4210.810, increasing that by $6,500 for the chief's new lease payment on his truck that was discussed earlier in the year. Those are due to come in a couple of 3 months. Under inspections for part-time employees, which is line 4240.120, increasing that by $5,000 for Brad Robbins, our city planner, who's been helping us out with that. Highways for street improvements, $68,000 for road maintenance, and that would be under streets. Street improvements, 4410-745. That's for our ongoing street maintenance projects, and also under lease payments on that, increase that by $8,500 for Derek's truck, for a total of $76,500. And then under community development, which is the last expenditure, about two-thirds of the way down, 4626.10, increasing that by $65,000. That was the former council that approved the block wall at the cemetery that's now done, the lighthouse research survey that we did so that we could get the grant or funding for the lead and copper. We do purchase secondary water out of this fund. We have a willing seller for almost 5 shares of water. So you know the city has established a point for $2,000 for a full contract share, and I think he has 4¾ of shared water he wants to sell to the city, so it's, we divide that up, it's right under $10,000. And then we have 3 signs that we'd like to put up at the camp or in the city, and those expenditures total $177,000 that equal the total revenue that we got. Now, one thing that I would like for your consideration that came to me, we have a problem with the borders out at Power Plant Park. It's, you can do this by in the motion. I would propose that we increase the revenue by $5,000 and increase the expenditure by $5,000 to cover us being able to fix the doors at Power Plant Park. That is something that I, if you make a motion and you are willing to approve this budget amendment, that we can add that into your motion, an additional $5,000 in revenue and an additional $5,000 in expenditure.
What happened to the doors out there?
we got problems with the locking mechanism on them.
Oh.
And we've got another company that is going to do it so that on our phones we have everything is keyed in right now that we do other than those doors. The new bathrooms at Wanos Park will be this way. People can that have access to it can unlock the doors with their phone. That way if we and then we, they'll also be set to where they will lock at a certain time. I think in the in our, is it city policy that they close at midnight that, or at dark?
The dark.
So we adjust those throughout the year so that the rooms or the restrooms at the parks lock at dark, come on at 6 o'clock, I think, or something like that. And that's part of that, this, that $5,000 as well. If you choose not to, we'll go without, I guess, but it would be nice if we could make the door work right.
Okay.
That's all. I guess I kind of geared that towards you to answer your question, but it's mainly for the public hearing, so I don't have anything more there.
Okay. We'll open the public hearing for the budget amendment. So, all of you in the public would like to come up and speak. I know Patty would never miss an opportunity to speak.
Kyle, and this might come up by council members, just what are the three signs that are going up in the city? Got a question about that.
We've got a sign for this building that will be out there, and I don't know if you've seen the rock signs that we have at the parks, Power Plant Park, yeah. And those could be so it's the same throughout the city. One for here, one for Square, the I call it Square. I think the baseball field over here, and one for the city out for the city office.
And then, do I wait until later for the other comment?
No.
I have actually talked to Gary and Darren about this, so a possible budget amendment now, if it can be approved. But we have a trails line item in the budget, but it's typically been $0. And I think it would be really good to settle on a dollar amount that we have in there all the time so that when trail projects, maintenance come up, we don't have to go through a huge process to get approved. We don't have to bring it to the city council again. So a couple of things to point out. Over the last year, we gained permission from a private landowner up on the Laverkan Overlook Trail to put signage up on the trail there. I've submitted all of that paperwork to Gary. I didn't get it done before I left the council, but I submitted everything from a company that's recommended by Hurricane and by Greater Simon. And they're just the Crescentite trail signs with the, you know, hiking, no mountain biking, equestrian, Laverkan local. And that is about $1,200, $1,300, something like that. And then the other thing is just the River-to-River trail. It's a great trail. It's a ton of use, but there has been erosion. And I don't even think it was related to the trail. The erosion probably would have happened from the hillside. It just happened to dump on the top of the steps. So that's going to require Derek's crew, and it doesn't seem that we should be taking money from roads for trails, that we should have a separate line item. So that's just the other thing. Just putting a dollar amount to the for maintenance on trails would be my only comment about this budget amendment. And I don't know if this budget amendment is the appropriate time to speak
to
this.
Well, I didn't put that in, but we have $532,000 in there right now.
Well, that's for the Diamond Corridor for the fire. No credit.
I was just telling you, we have
no already spent money and not our money. Thank you.
Any others like to comment? If Debbie.
Hello, Debbie Rose. I just want to let Patrick wish you well. So I want to give permission for the city. I also recommend fixing the doors to the bathrooms. Or at the other part of the bathrooms. Yes, I recommend that. Having bathrooms. analyzed and destroyed is a constant battle. And if I can do anything right now before that happens, that's what I would like.
Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Mary Williams, number 150 East 130 North. And I just have a comment that I didn't even know about the budget amendment or hearing until I talked to Patty about it. And so I went out on the website and I could not find it. Also, I'm just not sure, like one of the residents may not be computer savvy or social media savvy. So maybe something on the water bill saying, you know, check the website, come to the city office, learn more about the budget hearing or anything specific coming up, and I understand from Patty that you're going to be putting packets out now on the website. And the hearing, which I think is great as well, because when my husband and I would come to meetings before, we would just hear basically, well, is there any discussion? No, okay, pass. And we didn't even know like what was being passed, what the background was. So I think that's a great idea. Anyway, that's
fine. Thank you. Subscribe to the newsletter? It was in the newsletter.
It was in the newsletter? Maybe I missed it because I was like sick for 3 weeks, so that's a possibility.
Okay. But we'll try.
Just more marketing about, you know, what's going on, what's coming up.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. No?
My wife is bad at making comments.
She's not here, though.
All right. If there's no other comment, then we'll close the public hearing. in the business item here, the next item is discussion and possible action to approve resolution R-2026-05, a resolution opening and amending the fiscal year 2025-2026 budget. So, comments from the council, John?
No.
Any comment, Amanda?
Not regarding the budget, that's the amendment too, no.
Okay.
No, and I appreciate Kyle's recommendation with the doors and to your point, that seems like maybe cheap insurance for future vandalism and to be able to help out with public safety as well. I think those are great recommendations.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, well.
Darren, comment.
I like Patty's recommendation about a trails budget. Kind of my goal this year of being in charge of trails is to create a committee. And I think it would be great if we could take care of things like the trail, what's it called, the Rim to River trail. But we also like some money in there to build little projects and shore up erosion. And I think if you had a committee but you didn't have any money for cement or to buy anything, it would be kind of frustrating. So I would propose, or I would support that. And maybe that's a better discussion during the next budgeting year. But I do like that suggestion.
We do have a budget item now for trails, is that correct?
We do. And I joked when I told Patty there isn't much money in there, but it's for that regional trail. Going forward, if you wanted to put $1,500 in there right now to cover the expenditures of those signs that she's talking about, you could do that as well. If you don't, we could find it in community development. It wouldn't be out of the trails budget. But if you decided you didn't want to do it for that amount of money, I could probably take that out of community development. But if you want in your motion, if you're planning on approving this, you can approve it with the $5,000 plus another $1,500 or whatever to cover that. And I do think Councilman Prince is right. I think the appropriate time to talk about that trail being a line item permanent would be at our budget retreat when we're looking at what we're going to do going forward. Because any money, and there are, I'm not saying a negative about anything, there are 101 projects that would be awesome to be able to do. You just don't have the money to do everything. So that's where you guys come in and decide what's a priority and the amount of money you want to push towards.
Okay. There's not any other discussion. I'll entertain a motion to accept the budget amendment and with those additions.
I'll make that motion that we accept the budget amendment. In addition, the $5,000, Kyle mentioned, what was that for?
The doors.
And then add $1,500 to our trails budget.
So that would be a total of $6,500 that would need to come, that I find revenue for and expense.
Okay.
Adding to the estimates for revenue and subtracting on the budget, on the expenses.
Okay.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yeah.
Yes.
Aaron?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve ordinance 2026-01. And this is an ordinance amending the Oregon City Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-1-6. Derek, do you want to take that and explain what you're proposing?
As we're going through our code and trying to change and amend and update our code, we have found many, in this particular instance, definitions that we don't have or need to be beefed up or be more explanatory to what we're trying to go. So, in fact, in accessory buildings or accessory structures, attached to primary dwelling and lot coverage are new definitions we want to add. This particular, the attached and primary building, a lot of people try to do it 2x4 or a piece of iron or something is attached to actually a printed definition of what attached means. And then we're deleting the detached accessory dwelling unit, the DADU, because we actually have two definitions that were similar and they were confusing. So by deleting this one, it will make the other one relevant and with more explanatory than this one. So that's. I think actually we were deleting the accessory use of structures, which we is the first one that we are beefing up in the addition. So anyway, that's what that's about. If that's clear enough.
Any questions, John? Do you have any questions, Amanda?
No.
No.
Darren?
No.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion to amend the ordinance.
Mayor, I'll make the motion that we approve ordinance number 2026-01, notice amending the Oregon City Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-1-6.
And do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposed, so. Okay, next item is discussion and possible action to approve ordinance 2026-02, an ordinance amending the Oregon City Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-7-21. Eric?
So basically what we've done is, in all of our residential zones, so our R18, R110, R36, R114, these are the ones that are detailed in this one. There's a provision in there that states that if you're 10 feet behind your house, you can build an accessory dwelling or accessory structure within 2 feet of the property line or here into a corner, 2 feet off of each corner property. So over the years, we've always been tempted to change that to come into compliance with the fire code, which requires you to be 5 feet off the property line. And over the last couple of years, we've had multiple fires on structures that caught fire and actually caught structures on the other side on fire because of how close they were to the property line. It also addresses drainage, gets them further away, doesn't drop drain go into other people's property. So what we're proposing is that that as long as you get 10 feet away from the house, then you can be 5 feet off the property line unless there's a utility in the back. Like right now, we have a lot of irrigation lines that run through the backyard. We have a lot of power lines, phone lines and things like that. So if you have infrastructure that already is running in the backyard, you have to maintain a 7.5-foot setback with our utility easements that we have moving around the exterior. If you do not, then the 5-foot comes into play with that. So the problem that we've had over the last couple of years is that we've had to go in and repair lines, especially irrigation lines, and people have had sheds or something over the top of our lines. We have to go and either move it or take portions of it apart in order to get to what we need to do to fix it. And then it's the customer's responsibility to replace, repair, or whatever, because of the fact that they built on top of our utility line. So we had a lot of conflicting ordinance allowances that caused us a lot of problems. So this kind of clarifies and cleans it all up. So like in the new parts of town, new subdivision, there's no utilities in the backyards, everything's in the front. So mainly, and then with the irrigation project coming online, it will resolve a lot of issues on this old part of town. But there are still going to be other utilities that would have to be looked at or addressed. So this kind of simplifies it and puts us back into compliance with the fire code.
Okay. Comments? Darren?
I'm a big proponent of ADUs. By making those setbacks wider, is that going to have an impact on a lot of lots in the river and as far as ADUs go?
I went to a lot of the smaller lots. I mean, we're going to hold a public hearing next week about the ADUs. I actually looked at incorporating out potentially 8,000 square foot lots into the ADUs. I've laid them out on all the smaller lots, and it doesn't matter because you're only talking an additional 3 feet on each way. It's not making or breaking anything, especially where you're only a third the size of the house that you'd be able to build. So if you're on a smaller lot, you're going to have a smaller house, which is going to allow you to have a smaller ADU, right? Minimum 250 square feet is what you have to have. So that limits it. So you may not be able to be as wide, and you can make up for the width by going out.
I like the fire code because I know that that's been an issue in municipalities where they have those narrow setbacks.
Yes.
You have yours at 2. The neighbor needs 10 feet for the fire break, and so they have to put their 7 foot in, so I like 5 same people. So.
Yes, there's been a really amount of fires that over the last couple of years that we've seen that actually being that close where they one will start over here and just jumps over just because you're only 4 feet away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Technically. So it just helps us with liability issues, especially where we adopted the fire code. So it just makes it kind of better, and it makes it better for the customer not to have to replace something they put there if we are not allowing it to be put there because our code now doesn't make that allowance for us before you have two codes not really coordinated together. So.
Scott, any comment?
I almost took the approach the opposite way. Instead of restricting the ADU, I wonder if it can provide some safety. If somebody had a wood pile or something stacked up against the fence, and we had possibly somebody staying overnight and caught on fire, are we protecting folks by being able to put this in? So it might have the opposite view might be positive to be able to save somebody if we move further away. I thought that might be a good comment to be able to make sure that we give room for our utility crews to be able to get in there and do work that they might need to have. So.
Yeah, I was just wondering not that subtracted too much square footage.
Yeah, and you can certainly see that. It's got to come from somewhere. Yeah, it's there, but not. Appreciate the explanation, Jared. Thanks.
Amanda?
How did you come up with the 5 feet? I know in Vegas, because we put in a shed and we had to make sure it was 4 feet in Vegas and the houses were a little bit closer together. So how was the 5 feet?
It's our adopted fire code.
Okay.
So, every 3 years the codes change and the state decides on what version of code we're going to go with. And the fire code stipulates, at least for Utah, is 5 feet.
Okay. Good to know.
I think, Amanda, correct me if I'm wrong, that is because structures are required to be 10 feet apart. So if you have 5 feet on this lot and 5 feet on that lot, then they're 10 feet apart. Or is that insurance? We were just talking about this in HAC committee.
Well, technically, if you're 5 feet away from another building, depending on the type of building or structure, it may not have to be fire rated. If you're closer than 5 feet, then you need fire-rated assemblies, which is either going to be done through the construction or through the sprinklers. So 5 feet is always the separation you want to have. Of course, the further you go, then the less stipulations you can have as far as fire-rated assemblies, right? So if you have that 10 feet, now you definitely not have anything that would do with fire-rated construction. And depending on the size of the building would maybe determine whether or not you have the sprinkler requirement. So 5 feet is kind of the standard.
Yeah, that's exactly what they
say. On one side or the other.
And so if you were four, then you wanted to have that fire rating, you have the neighbor that there's a six. So five is just a happy medium.
Makes sense.
Or tell people they have to fire rate that assembly, which sucks to have a foot of your wall and half a foot of your roof fire rated.
Right.
John? Okay. I'll entertain a motion then.
Make a motion that we approve ordinance number 2026-02, an ordinance amending Lubbrook City Code by deleting, changing, or adding certain terms and definitions to section 10-7-21.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
The motion is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No opposed? Okay. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve ordinance 2026-03, an ordinance amending and modifying regulations to section 10-6A-5, section 10-6B-5, 10-6D-5 of the Lower City Code. Derek?
Yes, sir. Forgive me, because I want to give you enough context to understand why we're doing what we're doing, but I don't want to do too much, because I know the mayor likes it short and sweet, and I always like to appease the mayor. So,
wise man.
So on this one, these are the internal accessory dwelling units, which were mandated and are driven by...
Can you speak into the...
Which were mandated. I've never known them to have a soft voice before.
Yeah, they can't hear you down there.
Can't hear you over here. Sorry.
So, on the eternal dwelling units, which the state mandated that the cities had to allow, in their, under number two, letter C, where it says must be attached to the primary dwelling unit, it refers to the definition, which you guys approved on the very first one. That's where we ran into problems. So that if you have a house and you want to add on to the house and create another room, because under the internal dwelling units, you can rent out a bedroom, you can rent upstairs, downstairs, you can rent out whatever you want as long as health and safety criteria are met. So people that want to, and there's criteria on how much you can add on to the house, to meet the criteria here. So the biggest problem came down to is what's considered attached. And like I said, in those couple of examples, we've had people try to say that, hey, it's attached by a 2x4, it's attached by a piece of metal. You know, it is that. That's really not what we're talking about. So we decided creating a strict line on what we meant. This is why we made the definition, which is why we changed the internal dwelling unit to refer back to the definition. As far as what attached is.
So. Is that everything?
That's it.
Okay. John, any comment? No. Amanda?
Nope.
Scott?
Nope.
Mary?
Do we have any septic tanks in city limits?
Yes.
No, we do.
If I got a handful.
Okay.
You going to make the motion then?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we. Approve ordinance 2026-03, modifying those regulations on 10-6A-5, 10-6B-5, and 10-6D-5, lower density code.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a second. A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
No opposed then. Okay, the next item on this on the agenda is discussion regarding the ZRC, Design Regional Collaborative Funding. There's been some on the council that thought we should not be in the reach the ZRC, and we've been a part of it, I think, for how many years? Seven years?
Yeah.
Did everybody get a chance to read Patty's email? So this is just discussion. I know the county has pulled out. I don't know if it's going to require more funding from the city if we stay in.
Mayor Bruno from Springdale put an email out that suggested that they needed to come up with, I think, $20,000 more somewhere, and that each one of the remaining people that were still in would need to increase their funding, or she recommended they increase their funding. We can pay them whatever we want, but somehow they've got a very dollar amount they've got to get to. And it seemed like she said it's very shortfall right now, about $20,000.
Who's the richest city in the county?
Springdale.
Mayor, if I mind, I've spoken with you about this, about
sure.
carrying on the, trying to carry on the work that Patty did. I think there's a great value in the collaborative. You know, all of these cities support each other in ways that get things accomplished, oftentimes behind the scenes. And you've seen Patty's advise the some of the things that have been accomplished, trails issues. You know, it's also a good information group when we're talking about repaving Sheep Ridge and putting in underpasses and such. You know, it's good things for the city to be aware of and understand. We just spent $5,000 to put locks on bathrooms. I think that this is so much more valuable than that. And so, I mean, I would advocate for it. I had talked with folks about, you know, the fact that they have a remote person that does their administrative work. There's, you know, administrative work now is often accomplished anywhere on the planet. I did work for people in California, for, you know, Montana, Florida, via, you know, telephonics, so it's not unusual. I think the salary that they pay their administrative advocate is minimal in comparison to any number of things. At your request, I had spoken to Mayor Bruno about it, and she confirmed to me that there would be no increase for the city. The city could pay what it's paid in the past, and that would be fine with them. So if that means anything to anybody, she's assured me that there would be no increases for us.
Okay.
I think we could carry it on for a year if it becomes something that the council becomes dissatisfied about at some point. You know, we're only locking into a year. So.
Have they got that extra money found somewhere else?
All I know is she assured me that, you know, what she told me is, you know, really the amount of monies are up to the city. Some cities could actually pay less, and I'm not there to negotiate, you know,
right.
monies with her, but she assured me that there would be no increase for the city.
Yeah. Any comment, Amanda?
No, it seems pretty clear. It sounds like we're getting a good deal for what we're paying and kind of contributing to everyone and making sure we have a good collaboration.
Scott? Darren?
I would have to disagree on the coordinator being remote. I think in an organization like that, you want your coordinator being here talking to these organizations, taking care of business. There's no way you can do that four times a year.
You'd be surprised. I mean, like I said, I've dealt with people, you know, nationwide on issues that, you know, sat in on teleconferences. I mean, it's a pretty typical arrangement. I don't see anything unusual about it.
And I think a lot of those duties, obviously, the county pulled out of that. It was the other big organization that pulled out.
The county's going away, remember.
Yeah, I think all of the other cities are involved. I mean, and we're actually looking at bringing other people on.
What was the shortfall from? Wasn't there another organization that pulled out?
Well, it was probably Fred resigning, I think. Yeah. Maybe I don't know who it was, but there was somebody else that pulled out.
I think it's just important for the community because these cities, you know, in the county have all kind of joined into this effort. I think there's discussion of Leeds coming on, certainly Tocqueville. So, you know, I think it's going to grow rather than shrink. And that might actually.
I think it's a considerable. What is it now? 6,000.
But it seems like 6,700.
I would love to take that money and apply it right to our trails in Woodward rather rather than.
Well, you have, what is it, $500,000?
That didn't come out.
Is that what I
of our expense.
I think $6,700 is such a minimal amount. As I spoke earlier, you know, we're putting, you know, we're fixing locks on bathroom doors for $5,000. I mean, certainly a city this size can afford $6,700.
Yeah, and we want to go with that locks on the bathroom doors, though, so I disagree with you on that.
I mean, how much is a padlock and a latch?
I'm just talking about the significance of money and the amount of money.
So what are the deliverables? What has that collaborative done for us?
Again, I'm just getting started in it, but I've seen what they've done in the past. You know, mostly it's supporting each other in developing trails. It's in construction issues within the county. I think the roads are involved. They're involved in the roads, and there's so many functions. They're involved in all of the design issues insofar as electronic means of advertising. To ask me to give you a soup to nuts, having attended one meeting, it's not gonna play well. But again, I've seen just from a short time that I think that it's something that the city should invest in.
The transportation system.
One thing that she did do that was probably most recent was the
highway
designation.
They were involved with the transportation system between St. George and Springdale.
On the grant for the Pike Trail.
Well, year to year is available. I mean, if you decide next year you don't want to be involved anymore, and give me some time to give you more information about it. I'm willing to attend our meetings, which are usually 4 hours long. So it's not a short meeting. There's a lot of things discussed. So
I highly support you attending those four-hour meetings.
So that's my pitch.
Okay, well, it's a discussion anyway. Yeah. We got the
funding.
Did we?
I would think Springdale or somebody would want to know pretty soon, but we can take that out of community development. That's what we had in the past.
The $6,700? And it's available there. I think that's.
Yeah, there's no need to amend the budget. It's just the discussion was whether you wanted to continue or not. And right now it's just a discussion.
Mm-hmm. My biggest intrepidation in not continuing it is I see that it is kind of a Patty has put so much work, and I want to honor her too. So I'm malleable here right now.
And if your biggest concern is the remote work, I have been remote working for 5 years. My team of 10 is all up north, and I've been able to manage. We have great reports. We've had two baby showers remotely for my team. We've had Christmas parties. We did Secret Santa exchanges. So you can do so much doing remotely and build great rapport with people just being remotely. So, and I travel up north a couple times a year. No, believe me, like my team will
in
ask
this
you.
The thing is, when we have somebody like that who takes up an administrative role, you put so much time and effort into them. You groom them and educate them, and familiarize them with the area, so they become very knowledgeable over time. And to switch, even to switch tomorrow to another person, you lose all of that institutional ability, and so it does make a difference.
I'm not going to agree with you guys on that. It's fine. I'm now going to say let's research and make a decision.
Sounds good.
Is that the right word? No.
I don't know what word.
Okay. Well, it's a good discussion. It looks like you might be the only one who's against it, Darren. So anyway, so we'll look to stay in the ZRC then. Kyle can always find money. Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is council reports. I don't have anything new other than the water treatment, sewer treatment plant will be operational at the 1st of February. They're going to have a ribbon cutting 2nd of February. So that's going to be operational come February. So you know, it won't be long, you'll be able to drink your own sewer water. Once they get that treatment, that advanced treatment facility going, so something to look forward to. Kyle, anything else to report?
Just a couple of things. Darren and Captain Prince want me to say something about the fencing around the bridge out here has been funded. We have a budget item in there that we have up to $5,000. We spent a little bit of that, just paid to the county or UDOT, I can't remember. I don't know when they're going to start.
Did they bid it already?
That. It's been awarded.
Who's the contractor?
Yeah.
You don't know?
Nope. They said, and I can't remember. February 17th is the Southern Utah Transportation Expo at the Dixie Center. If you're interested in learning about what's going on transportation-wise, what projects UDOT has or any of the other cities and stuff, it's at the Dixie Center. It goes from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the 17th of February. And the only other thing I can think of, Matt, is your wife up at Salt Lake now? Yeah, the Youth City Council is up at Capitol representing. So
that started today, didn't it?
Yesterday.
Yes, they were there yesterday.
Yesterday, that's right.
Well, whether they were there yesterday, they went out. And it's kind of we get a lot out of our Youth City Council. It's kind of their reward for all the stuff they do for the city throughout the year. And we take them up there, they probably eat pizza and that kind of stuff. And then go to the Capitol, meet the legislators.
I think that's been a good thing, especially for those kids that later on they can get involved in city government and state government. Who knows? Might be president.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's a good thing, and Mary does an excellent job with those kids as she does with everything she does. So.
Okay. Faye had two times on the agenda and didn't even show up, so. Darren.
So, Kyle, like Kyle said, we did go to DTEC, and there are a number of projects starting that are very interesting. There's a lane, anybody who drives on Highway 7, they're doing a passing lane, which is so neat. It's the worst on Highway 7. I can't believe there wasn't two lanes put in there to start with. But I think that's going up through the cut, so anybody knows that's where it always bogs down. There's George Washington. They're starting a bridge over on I-15, so that will connect all the way from 7 to I-15, and then eventually all the way up to Santa Clara. So that's a really neat. If you've ever driven down through the temple and through there, it's horrible. So that's going to be a nice addition. City of St. George, they're getting those walls, you know, those big tall walls. The sound walls. So the east side approved it, right?
Yes, and the west side did.
West side did. So there'll be a east side wall going down through the city of St. George and no west side wall. So you'll still be able to see the university. And the way that works is they pull the residents, and they have to get like 75% approval, and the city has no choice in it. If they get 75% approval, then they build the wall, and they can get that down west or on the west side. And there was one more really cool thing that started. Do you remember what it was? Or do you think?
They are doing a passing lane from, I think, every 12 to 16.
Yeah, there's a bunch of work going on between exit 12 down there by in the Washington exit, all the way up. There'll be work going on, so that would be really helpful. Anybody who gets caught in that traffic sometimes is no fun. So that was sitting in Patty's seat was weird. At detail.
Okay, that's all.
Yep.
Got anything?
Just going to attend Ash Creek Special Service District's meeting tomorrow.
So.
Well, we have a grand opening too, right?
First of February.
Did you already say that?
Yeah, I did. You weren't paying attention? Holy cow. Kids nowadays. Amanda.
I don't have anything yet. I believe the solid waste is next month. I have to touch base and make contact with someone over there. And nothing else on historical preservation yet.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
John, anything new?
The Planning Commission discussed the three items that were on the agenda. It's kind of odd that I give my report after the vote. But additionally, there's going to be a public hearing concerning vacation rentals and ADUs. And they're also, I think they're in the process of reviewing several different codes. They're going to be looking at the cemetery generally and looking at updating that portion of the code. The mosquito abatement, I think my first meeting is going to be in February. There'll be some training involved before I go. And the last issue is the legislative body or the legislative advisory committee through the ULCT. That's an interesting body. The first meeting was kind of looking at three pieces of legislation. The first one is a preferred use. It's going to be a preemption, possibly, of city zoning authority, and the parameters of that preemption are not quite done yet. There may be some substitute bills, I'm not sure. But the what they're looking at is basically creating a use zone that the city would have the ability to veto, but only if they could come up with certain criteria. The ULCT is against it, but I think what they're telling us in a conference is that 97% of the bills they get to vote pass. So if it gets there, it would probably pass. The second issue, they talked about an infrastructure bill, and that's going to be looking at providing monies to cities for infrastructure projects. I thought one of the interesting things about it is it could affect what's going on the topside development. I think there was some general outlay of money. The bill hasn't taken form yet, but I think it will fairly shortly. And the last one they discussed was a change bill on the exemption for personal property tax. They're looking at changing the formula from the current 45% reduction or exemption to a 60% exemption, but they're not sure how that's going to affect other players, businesses, and the like. They wanted input from the city on all three items, so I've tried to kind of discuss and let them know what's going on in this city, because that's what they're always looking for the legislature. If the committee is interested in more in-depth information about numbers of bills, the sponsors, and that, I can always provide that to you.
Mayor, if I can add something to what John said, the property up on the top side that the credit union owned did officially get listed for sale. And they said the guy that texted me, I got that text last week in the What's Up Down South conference, which, by the way, Darren did a great job with that, What's Up Down South, last week. And we had people from here that attended, but they have 20 plus developers that are interested in the property, so that's a lot of people.
Okay, thanks everybody. Next item on the agenda is the citizen comment for requests for any future agenda items that haven't been discussed today. So, are there any citizen comments? Mary?
Gary, still in Brisbane. So many years ago, we've been here over nine years, and way back we had the dumpster days, and I know it was an issue with other citizens from other localities to come and dump, and costing us a lot of money, and there's no budget item for it right now, but I would like to see it reconsidered. And maybe some fencing around the area, maybe some policing, checking IDs, because I think there's just a lot of junk that needs to be teams of waiting around the city, and it saddens me when I start by, because we do a lot of walking and that. So that was one thing. And then I was a couple year and a half ago, I think we had something here about the parks, revisiting the park, and there was like four different models, but I haven't really seen anything about that, so.
They did come up with a plan. The sticking the ointment is, it's estimated to be $7 million to fix it like it is, so that's put us on hold for now.
Okay. And then also the stakeholders meeting that I was a part of a couple of years ago about Main Street and the one way and all that with the UDOT. I haven't heard anything about that either.
I think UDOT's given up on that.
Yeah, that. Their proposal just didn't work out. It was.
There was going to be a feasibility study, and then that was kind of like.
There was a lot of money spent. It was wasted.
Okay.
Yeah, they have decided there's going to need to be other options.
Okay. Thanks. Any other comments?
I will. So this is just an encouragement for this council for 2026. Really improve public outreach. I know we all talk about it, that we should do it, and it's difficult to do, but each of you are assigned to a different type of committee, like John, this legislature, CRC, if it's passed, Planning Commission, Amanda, Historical Society, you know, all of this. We need to let the people in Liverpool know what the council and the staff are doing, and Kyle does post the one-page newsletter. It's just not enough. It doesn't cover things. People who have their kids and things, yes, they're interested. The rest of the population doesn't really care that much about the things there. So the way to do that is the website, and I know that we've got money in it, been working on it, but there are links that are still not operational after some time in that. So if it's a matter of not having the right website company or paying more, I really think the council, each of the council members should take an interest in that, look at the website, and make recommendations to the mayor and Kyle. What would you like to see for the areas that you cover on the council? What would you like to see put out to the public? And really make an effort to educate the public. Like Darren, you know people are crying for trails. You need a trails committee. I know of 8 people who would love to be on a trails committee. I just don't want to run it. And Scott, you know, all of the things that you're going to be involved in. Historical James Googler has tried to do an amazing job. He has, but he needs that person to take him over the line. He needs to get the articles written and onto the website. Lubbock has such a rich history, and there's just nothing there. And I know that Kyle has put a lot of effort into it, but it's not a one-man job. But I think collectively, you all can do an amazing job on public outreach. And Mayor, have you talked to people from Hurricane lately?
I don't talk
about
to those people.
Their new mayor.
I don't talk
in
to those
the
people.
Loop. Have all of you seen that?
The what?
In the loop. Mayor Fawcett on the Hurricane City website and social media has started new, I think he puts it out once a week, and it's called In the Loop. And he just gives people a list of about 6-7 things that are happening in the city. The sealing the roads, you know, all that kind of thing. So, I don't know what to say, Kyle. They should not disagree.
What if there was just a really great former city council person? I'm not saying any names. But we did a little podcast, so cheap, so easy, and we interviewed a mayor, a city councilman, a city manager, a police chief. Once a week, we just spent 20 minutes.
I think we just need to invite people and maybe bribe them with cookies or something. Say, hey, please just come attend a meeting and personally send out invitations, go door to door, because that's the only way to get people here. I know I've tried you know, a few months ago, like, hey, show up at this meeting.
Well, John, we can do it remotely. We can do this through.
Hey, I am here. Honestly, if you were able to watch the once we get the technology in here fixed and do the, I think more people would be involved.
Absolutely.
But it seems like more people show up here when they're pissed off about something.
But I think a podcast would be, that's something we would think
about. Copenhagen does their city council meetings on a YouTube channel.
Still trying to get out of the phone.
I don't know if it helps. I don't know if it gets somebody more people.
That is going to be awesome when this is broadcast.
Just for the record, Derek, I'll need 40 minutes.
Yeah, 24 my time.
Karaoke hour.
You know, maybe we have those two signs out on the highway. There's speed signs now, but we just for information, maybe a day or two before city council can announce it on that so people can see that.
Very limited on.
Right.
You can't put a whole lot of information. Plus, people driving by can only hit about one or two panels before they get past it. But, yeah, well, that's things we can do.
I know Hurricane has that sometimes, things like that on there.
You have to drive
by three
times.
We have a marquee at the old elementary school that it's a little more high-tech and it can do more stuff than those things we have. But, yeah.
We can, just a thought. Okay. There's no other comment. We'll adjourn. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I'm going to repeat the meeting.